Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast, where we focus on bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast. I'm Steve Harris, holistic business coach, expert sales strategist, serial entrepreneur, and the COO of Gorgeous Business Solutions. I've spent years helping entrepreneurs and small business owners master sales, build strong brands, and create systems that drive both revenue and freedom. This podcast is dedicated to providing you with the strategies, mindset shifts, and expert insights you'll need to grow your business, close more sales, and achieve whole life success. Whether you're looking to scale, strengthen your sales skills, or align your business with your personal and financial goals, you're in the right place. So let's dive in. On today's episode, I am super excited to have just a wonderful guest on. I've been looking forward to this episode since he and I connected, actually since I learned about him. Sam is a wealth strategist, an investor, entrepreneur, and strategic partner, integrating people, processes, and technology to foster innovations and sustainable growth. In addition to his advisory work, which is super useful for all of us that are looking to grow our wealth and enhance our business success, he is also the author of the book About My Father's Business. It's a transformational book that redefines success through kingdom-minded stewardship, equipping readers with practical tools and biblical insights to align their finances with God's principles, achieve financial freedom, and build purpose-driven legacies. Whether you integrate faith in your life and in your business or not, there's going to be so much in this episode that you're going to learn that will impact your life. So I'm looking forward to diving in. Let's get started. Okay, Sam, well, I am so excited to have you on. We've had a couple minutes to chat before we press record, and I'm excited to bring forward the message that you are bringing, the information, and connect our audience with you. I've already given them kind of the LinkedIn version of who you are. In fact, I literally took the information from your LinkedIn. So tell us who you are. You're much more than what I read on LinkedIn. I'm certain of it. So tell us who you are.
You know, it's a simple life, but profound. That's what God wants. I am a serial entrepreneur, but very kingdom focused, value focused, people focused. That's my passion. And so, but it is not perfect yet. So I'm still work in progress. But I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love the idea about bringing solutions to problems in the marketplace. So I've been in different fields, you know, anywhere from sports to healthcare to, you know, real estate, all different areas. You know, that has given me opportunity to bring impact and influence. And I'm also a learner of the world. So I studied over 2,000 scriptures about money and wealth and you know, legacy and all those things. So that's my passion. So I incorporate my life, my faith, everything. There's no difference for me. So that's who I am. My name is Sam Marikekut. I'm also a strategic wealth advisor.
Wonderful. Well, I want to jump into legacy in a minute, but we'll get to the other questions. I'm just super excited about legacy. It's been my buzzword, my passion. In fact, I have a strip going across my computer monitor that says, if my kids and grandkids were watching everything I did today, would I be proud of what they saw? It's important to me. And so I want to dive into that. But first, share your journey. What inspired you? So for our audience, Sam has a website, a book, and more to come expanding on, titled About My Father's Business. And definitely there'll be links in our show notes to go to his website, check it out. So much goodness coming there. But what inspired you to start About My Father's Business? Because certainly you had a successful career leading up to that.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in college, my degree was in business management. You know, I wasn't a finance person or anything. You know, so I always had the God-given gift of some sort of managing wealth. I always liked to steward the money part of it. But over the years, you know, especially last 10, 15 years, I studied about money, wealth, taxes, you know, law, and all those different things. Kind of look behind the scene to see what that is. And especially when I studied over 2,000 scriptures about all these things in the Bible, that kind of opened my eyes. And, you know, I started living it out because for me, that's what faith was more of an action, a moment, a lifestyle than just, you know, a belief system that I had in my head. So that's where I started my journey. And even though I'm a man of faith, but living it out kind of brought this faith out into the natural practical. And I realized that I can apply this any area of my life. It doesn't have to be separate. So I started living it out. I started getting out of debt, and we live a debt-free life, me and my wife. And
congratulations.
So those things, you know, kind of enlightened me and gave me an understanding of, hey, I don't need to be a slave to money, and I can have the money work for me. That's one of the principles I follow is, you know, you make the money work for you 24/7, and you master it instead of it mastering you. So that's the beginning of my journeys and all the years, and I got it enabled me to try out different businesses. A lot of them failed. In the, initially, I thought I was a failure, but as I studied these ancient principles, I realized that those are just stepping stones. Instead of the stone crushing me, I used it as stepping stones to build what God has called me to do, and that created, you know, a lot of refinement to my passion and my gifting that became more valuable, and I have a passion to help others because, you know, my nature is to teach. That's one of my gifts, so I love that, so I just, you know, make it as a business to teach others through wealth creation and, you know, how to impact and create value for others. That's how you increase your wealth.
You know, it's funny. People think about the Bible, right? And especially those who don't spend time truly studying it and ruminating on what it the information it has. We think about its principles on how to live with kindness and love and integrity and honor. But it's I'm sure it's eye-opening to a lot of people that there are principles about wealth building and use within our life. And I love that that's where it's based on, and that's where you're finding it's actually usefulness for all areas of life, not just how to be a good person.
Yes.
You know, what role? Go ahead.
Now, this is more sometimes I emphasize on, this is, you know, a lot of, and especially when it comes to Christians or Christianity, a lot of people like to be nice, but that's not a fruit of the spirit. Kindness is. So there's a difference on those things, you know, because you can be nice and still not righteous. So those are some of the emphasis when it comes to wealth also, that there's righteous wealth and there's unrighteous wealth. You know, Deuteronomy 18 says it is God who gives us the ability to create wealth. And also Proverbs talks about it that in a righteous wealth, when God enables you to create, it adds no sorrow to it. So other worldly wealth, there's a difference on how you create wealth, and that creation of wealth is how you expand the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. If it is righteous wealth, it expands the kingdom. It's unrighteous wealth because there is that consequences of sin and sorrow and pain that is added to it. So there's a difference in those two things.
Yeah. So what are some other principles, some biblical principles that, you know, even that are applicable to life, even for some of our audience that maybe, you know, they don't have a working relationship with God. They've never opened a Bible, but what other wealth principles, money principles are found within scripture that would be applicable to everybody? I mean, obviously I believe that all scripture is inspired for all of us, but for those people who don't have that relationship, don't understand, what are some principles that could be applicable to their lives that are found within scripture?
You know, when I pushed and encountered the scripture, Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and mammon or money. You know, there's a different translation. And I studied a little more in depth and realized there's a stronghold, there's a spiritual force behind this thing called money or wealth or material things. And there's different versions of it, but there's a spiritual force because I always say we all are spirit beings who lives in a dead body that has a soul. So, right? Because we are created in the image and likeness, every human. So that spirit is either dead to God or alive to God. That's the difference. And so when you're alive, the scriptures enlightens you. And there's a lot of principles. And even the wisest man, Solomon, teaches on all of the wisdom that is there too. And so in studying the differences, that's the scripture, Matthew 6:24, that really caused me to think, what is this moment? What is this, spirit behind it? The more I studied, I realized that that's the deceptive, luring, pull of money or material things or you know, the shiny syndrome, right? That kind of deceives our thinking, our mindset. So the more I understood, I realized that, okay, I was a slave to it. The more I was doing business and work and do, even though I was trying to do the right thing, giving to God, giving to charity, all those things, my focus was to create more wealth and be in control. So instead, I realized I was being a slave to it, and I was drawn more to be enslaved by it instead of entrusted. So in the New Testament, Bible talks about, you are no more an owner, you are a steward. In the Old Testament, it was, you made money 10%, you gave to God as a tithe. But in the New Testament, 100% belongs to God. That's one of the stewardship principles. So when you are not an owner, you don't have the liability and the burden of having to build and hold. So you just do what God gives you based on your gifting, your talent, your passion, and the opportunities. You are given certain things to create value. So money is just a tool that enables you to create value, not for yourself. Same like a tree. You always produce food for others. Mm-hmm. And that food and the nourishment and the value of that is what attracts you. And money is not net worth, and that value that people put on it. It's more than that. Money is a tool that you just use to help and serve and create value. And so being in debt, that was one of the greatest stronghold, money as a spirit in a force that controls people. There's good debt and bad debt, but majority of our society we live in, it's a consumer debt that puts that slavery on you. I always say until late 1800, we have physical slavery. But after 1930, the formation of Federal Reserve and the new system of money and schooling, all those things, we have become enslaved into a whole different system.
Yeah.
And people don't recognize it because of the deception that is behind this force of the lure of money. So, to put it in a nutshell, it is if you are a master of the money or you are a slave to the money. That's one of the deepest things the scriptures taught me. Okay, are you mastering it and serving God, the Abba, the source, or are you being mastered by money and become an enslaved, being to the master called Mammon?
Now, based on that thought and that principle, do you think it is... is there something wrong with people, entrepreneurs, wanting to build a business, have some worldly, financial gain, have nice things? Is there something that is that allowed in those principles and that thought, or are they? My gut would say it goes back to the heart, right? Yes. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it.
Definitely. I always separate the religious teaching and the kingdom teaching. Because if you look at Jesus' teaching, he taught only on the kingdom. He was always against the religious teachers. It's not the people, it's that spirit behind what they were emphasizing. That's why Jesus said, you are dead inside, you are like a whitewashed tomb, right? So, people in the religious system, a lot of times we are hesitant and we are fearful of money because we feel like, okay, that's a demonic thing, you can't have. No, money is just neutral, right? But it's that, like you mentioned, it's the heart. It's the love of money. Where's that love come from? It's from your heart, right? Your love, right? It's when the Bible talks about the heart, which is your mindset. It's, how do you think? What do you value? And so money is neutral and it's a tool. Same like anything. If you know how to use a tool, it will create value. You don't need a thousand shovels, in your garage, right? So you just need because if you're mastering and it is not what gives you satisfaction and contentment, you only focus on taking care of your need. So in the scriptures, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else is added. Matthew 6 talks about the prayer and then worry and then said, seek first the kingdom. So when you seek the king and the domain, that's the kingdom, two words, king and domain, that's authority. So then this money becomes just a tool. You can enjoy the kingdom, like I mentioned, it's prosperous because if a kingdom is based on the prosperity, it shows how big and strong and prosperous a king is. So if the king is poor, that kingdom is very poor or less of value. So in the kingdom, everything is prosperous. There's no limit as far as what you can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the problem is, make sure you are not a slave to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're enslaved by money, it doesn't matter how much or how little. You can be rich and still have scarcity mindset, and you can be poor and have a fearful scarcity mindset or, uncontent of what you have. This is what Paul said, even when he was in the prison, he would rejoice. So it doesn't matter where you are and how much you have. If you don't look to it for your worth, then money is not a problem. Money attracts when you manage. There's another principle of management of professional. If you measure something well, you're always able to manage well. When you manage well, you always grow and prosper. Because that's what the parables Jesus teach also about managing. It doesn't matter if you have one or ten. If you don't manage, even the little you have is taken and given to the guy you already have. So it is not the richest. How do you manage it?
Right.
Is it managing you or are you managing it?
Right.
So I think that's the difference.
And investing is management of it, taking that you've labored for and then expanding on that. And for me, ultimately, that then boils down to legacy, right? If I'm creating enough income through our business with a surplus to then be invested, that's when we can start building legacy. So on your website, you use the phrase lasting legacy. And I want to hear from you. Why is building a lasting legacy such an important thing for all of us to be doing? Again, whether you have a biblically based faith practice or not, building a lasting legacy, what does that mean? And why is it so important that we do that?
So, legacy, if you look at the kingdom, God sent His only begotten Son to earth to create a legacy here. Because that's when God, in Genesis, when God created heaven and earth, He said, He created man and said, let them have authority. He exploded Himself, gave us authority. That's why ownership belongs to Him, rulership belongs to us on this earth. So how you manage something is, like I said, you expand things. So the footprint, even through family, through business, through mission, whatever you do, it lasts generations. So even when you're saying lasting legacy, it's not just the money. There are a lot of rich people leave money for the kids without preparing them and their hearts, so it leaves a very negative, bad legacy.
So instead, you create righteous wealth and you teach not only your inheritance in money, you teach them how to manage that because that's part of your lasting legacy.
If they are not taught how to, that can ruin them instead of blessing. So this is where, in my coaching, I take people through how do you set up, based on biblical principles, what a legacy is. What does it mean that a legacy lasts? It is not just in money. It's in following the principles of the Word of God. Because remember, money is just a tool. Because you don't want to give your kids a thousand shovels if they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
So, right? Because a tool that you don't know, you will always misuse it or abuse it because you don't know the use of it. So same way, money, if you don't teach your next generation based on these principles, which applies to everyone. Like I mentioned in earlier to you that like gravity, if you violate it, doesn't matter how good a person you are, how much you pray, you jump off a building, you're going to hit the floor and you're going to have negative consequences, right? So it is war, but the beauty is even the gravity is set for a reason. Because why? It is with gravity you go to the next level of aerodynamics. Without gravity, you cannot have the lift or how the plane takes off, right? So every principle has its good and bad based on how you use it. So even to build a lasting legacy, if you violate a principle of the Word of God, that legacy, you can leave a lot of money, but it will create a lot of negative things. So this is where biblical principle is very much needed as a foundation when you're building your legacy. It is not money itself. It has a lot of values you need to add to it, or else what happens, your future generation can be enslaved by it instead of being an entrusted master over it. So for me, to in a nutshell, the lasting legacy is the value that you create using earthly treasures to create eternal riches.
That is so good. You just blew my mind there. I had to write it down because I've thought about, okay, yes, we need to create wealth for our children and our children's children. We need to create, you know, one of our goals is that our business will then be something that the kids can run with and continue to do. Yeah. And I've seen families do that well, where they have given the tools to their children to continue to create their own wealth and grow. But I've also seen the negative side of it, where people's children have been given a legacy of money, but without the education of what to do with it. And so, yes, I'm picturing there was a opportunity in Miami where we saw a 20 something with a beautiful Ferrari, but his heart was obviously wicked. I mean, you could just tell that the money had perverted him. Yeah. And so, gosh, just handing over the legacy of the money or the business is only the first part. Cause at the end of the day, if they don't have the heart, the proper heart with it, if they don't have the knowledge of what to do with it, then it's actually having a contrary effect to what we're trying to set up for the generations to come. That is so good.
Yeah, because none of us will knowingly give a 5-year-old a Ferrari, right?
Right.
Because we know they're not educated, they're not practiced and trained in it. So why would we give anything to even a grown-up if they never know how to handle it, right? Because that's the danger of money. It's an alluring force behind it. It's a deceptive force because it feels good. Obviously, when you drink Coke, it feels good when it goes down. But the damage is later. So
right.
If it is not, if it is done in instant gratification, because of what that money does is a lot of time it gives you instant gratification and happiness, but it does not give you joy and it does not give you peace that lasts us. So this is where biblical principles help us, educate us, gives us the knowledge, and then when we study it gives you understanding to use it in wisdom. Because wisdom is what enables you to build lasting legacy.
Yeah.
But money and even knowledge of it, Bible talks about it, at the end days, knowledge would increase, would only puff up your head. And, but it's the understanding of the word of God, when you put into practice, creates legacy that lasts beyond you. Because it's kingdom impact. Because that's what you want to create. Because the king and his domain, that's an authority that you leave. Based on what is given to you, you leave that inheritance to children's children, not just in money, but the spirit of God that enables you to manage it. Because if it is not the spirit of God, it is the spirit of the demonic force. It's the spirit of the enemy that empowers you. Because the enemy also helps you to create unrighteous wealth. Unrighteous wealth creates sorrow, pain, division, all those things. That's why you can have a lot of money and you get and families divided, and businesses get divided. I see it all the time. But someone, even like you mentioned earlier, even if their faith is not necessarily following God, but if they follow the principles, and a lot of big businesses do, they follow the principles, but they don't acknowledge the one who made the principles. But the principle, the power of the principle itself creates value.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But if you create it through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it makes a whole different process and impact that creates transformation of a life and value for generations. For me, that's eternal riches.
Right.
Even after my time, the impact of what I left in the righteous path creates that impact, not just for my family, for everyone that are influenced by it.
Mm. Mm. So let's say you're an entrepreneur that you've been, trying to create some freedom for yourself. You've been working hard, and now you're realizing that I really have to get my financial house in order. I really need to start building a lasting legacy for my family beyond just working hard. And I don't want to take away from your coaching program that we all should be ascribing to, and we'll give you an opportunity to pitch that in just a second. But where would somebody start? If they're just like, okay, I've been working hard, I have a little bit of money to show, maybe I've got a little bit of a nest egg, but I really want to build a lasting legacy. Where would somebody, would you tell somebody to, this is where you need to start in order to begin to build from there?
The simple financial principle in the sense of you want to evaluate to see what are you creating? what is coming in and what is going out, right? Basic budget, right? So you want to see, you always need to have more cash flow and outflow in the sense of your income has to be more than your expense. And are you living within your means or are you living for somebody else's in improcing? Because if you are not satisfied in who you are and what you have, you will never get satisfied with more. Because that syndrome of more and more is very dangerous. That's what the Bible talks about, you can work hard, but you become more thorns and thistles. There's no satisfaction, there's no fruitfulness. So that's where I would say, search within to see. Okay, why are you needing more? Is it to buy things? Because buying new things always get old, right? So that's where I tell you, find yourself first. Before you build, because the Bible talks about building on a sand or on a solid foundation. And before you build, it says sit down and plan, right? So that's where I look to see where you are, what comes and what goes out, and see, are you leading a dead life of borrowing more and spending more, or are you mastering it where you are? So getting out of debt is one of the principles because the Bible says a debtor is a slave to the lender. There's good debt and bad debt, but when you are consumer debt and you're just borrowing, and that's how we serve, then you want to pause and think, you got to put your house in order first and before you even build your business, because if you are not personally managing your finance, that it reflects on your business also and on your employees and the people you impact, because remember, the money has a spirit behind it, either the spirit of God or spirit of mama. So that's what you want to see. Do you master it? And getting out of debt is one form of mastering that. And that's one of the principles me and my wife, in attempt to teenage, God taught us to, and to get out of it, to live a debt-free life. Then I brought that into the business world. So there are multiple businesses that started right there. I got out of debt in 6 to 12 months, even when the company was in, law, six-figure debt. So that's the power of the principle of the scriptures, that if you implement those, It might seem impossible in the natural, but supernatural power kicks in. Same like a seed, a mustard seed. It has a lot of potential when you plant it. If you keep it on the shelf and just believe, it never comes to life. You got to plant it, test it to see if it works. Then it will produce 30, 60, 100-fold. It's not 5 and 10% return. There's multiplication. That's the power of the principle. Rather than we work hard for 5, 10, 15, 20%, right? Then you have to pay taxes and you lose a lot. But in the kingdom, how the power of this principle works is it multiplies. So if you are able to reproduce, this is the kingdom mandate in Genesis 1, you reproduce, you multiply, you replenish, subjugate, and dominate. So that's the principle that you're able to implement when you follow the biblical principles on money, wealth, finance, legacy, all those things. And it creates a lasting legacy, lasting wealth, lasting impact than just you are striving. So in a nutshell, if you are starting out in business, don't think when you fail or make a mistake as a failure. That's one of the lies of the enemy, but keep building on what God has given you and never quit. Because if you trust in your own, a lot of times you feel like a failure when you make a mistake. But if you trust in God, you can always rest in Him knowing that I will not fail. It is just a temporary season for me to grow and be refined. So an entrepreneur who wants to make an impact, start with yourself. Because if you don't feel valuable without money, you will never feel valuable. And if you don't feel valuable, it's hard to create value for others.
Man. Yeah, so much. So we need to start kind of wrapping up, but I want you to, if you can expand on real quick, because there's a lot of people who are, I don't think, have the right clarification of what good debt and bad debt is. Of course, Dave Ramsey is all debt is bad, and I don't necessarily ascribe to that principle. I think good debt leveraged the right way is a necessary tool to build wealth. But can you discuss the difference briefly on the difference between good debt and bad debt? And again, I want people to be able to dig in on this more and hopefully reach out to you and learn greater depths of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know, you know, you know, short time period, so, you know, but just to give you in a high level of it, you know, so the consumer debt, that's a bad debt, right? You're consuming, and that money or whatever you are getting, even a phone or car or everything is deteriorating. So anything that is deteriorating, that's not a good debt because it doesn't produce anymore. It's just because, you know, like every other principle, something has to die for another life to come. Like the food that we eat and everything, something dies. That's why Jesus has to die in place for us to live, right? So that bad debt, it always consumes. It never produces it. Good debt, you can use that as a collateral because I studied wealth and rich people. I'm not the smartest guy, but I studied the people and I kind of looked behind what this money and wealth was. Then I realized in an American system or the central banking system, you know, you can use debt as a leverage to increase wealth or anything. Wealth, so, you know, like in you and I, we all have only 24 hours. You can hire people, smart people, and you can multiply using those capital of people, right? And leverage. So likewise, you can use, you know, I use different principles in my financial thing that, you know, you keep more what you make and using compounding interest and leverage options to create more. So one example I give is, you know, let's say you have $100,000 and you get 10% return. That's, you know, $10,000, right? Let's say I can give you three times more using a principle of leverage, and now you have $400,000. Same 10% will give you $40,000. You just quadrupled your return. So that's what principle of leverage, that's a biblical principle, but if used with the right, you know, protective debt, you can increase your wealth and your influence and your impact, all those things. So there is that simple, but you know, consumer debt versus you know, protective debt or value creating debt. So those are different, but you're using with another principle of leverage. Same like I mentioned about gravity and lift or aerodynamics, right? Sometimes that is needed to go to the next level, but you use it as a stepping stone instead of a stone that crushes. Bad debt always crush you and make you a slave.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so good. Yes, yes. Yes, I could talk to you all day long. Okay, so in wrapping this up, I've got three last quick questions here. One of them we'll start with is what would be one principle that you would want our audience to take away from today and apply to their life?
So, you know, again, I will go back to two things, one principle, but it's connected in the sense of debt-free life and a stewardship life. If you know that you are a steward and not an owner, You don't have to worry about money. You have no liability and no debt. It starts with knowing that God owns everything, and you and I are stewards because we have less stress, less worry. Because if you are a steward, you know, you don't need to worry. What? The master, the owner, always makes sure there's enough. It is you and I, he's steward. When you use the principle of measurement and management, it always increases. So that's one principle, understanding that as even as a believer in the principles of the Word of God is that applying the principle of stewardship changed my life to get out of debt and also have a freedom. I'm very peaceful. I'm at rest. It doesn't matter how my business does, you know, it's because I know if I'm faithful, the principle will increase itself. Same like the seed. You plant it. We have no clue how that, you know, the seed dies in the bud. It is God who brings increase. Deuteronomy 8:18, it is He who gives us the ability to create wealth. And when it is wealth created through His ability and acknowledging the principle, there is no sorrow added to it.
Yes, yes. I've got so much I want to dig in on. I just want to keep going all day. So the last two questions are what I ask every guest that comes on the show. What book or books have most impacted your life that and I'll link to these in the show notes also because we have an audience that loves to read and learn. And so what book or books that you would want to tell people to look to?
You know, growing up I wasn't a big reader, but in the last 10-15 years when I started studying the principles of the Word of God. For me, the 66 books in a Bible, it is not just a holy book. It's a book of law, book of principles and concepts and commands and precepts and all those things. That's a powerful thing. Similar, but profound. So I started with that, and I don't personally follow people and the writing. I follow principles because people, all of us are, you know, have good and bad and all those things. And it always leads to, you know, emptiness. I follow principles. So I start with the word, regardless of what your faith background, the teachings, Jesus called as a great rabbi or rabboni, a master teacher. He was very good in teaching seeker principles. So principles is what I follow. So I study on kingdom principles, on money, wealth, family, marriages, in relationships, and that's how I increase my ability to live all those things. And small principle I learned, I tested. So because if your faith is not tested, it never grows.
Yeah.
And you know, same like anything, you know, because if you don't roll out of the bed, your muscles will slowly deteriorate, right?
Yeah.
So we got to test those small things. So my encouragement to readers, you know, this may be unconventional, but instead of reading a lot of books, read one, practice one principle. Test it to see if it works. Because all of what knowledge that it pops up, it never transforms. Knowledge will only excite you. Even you might do reformation or behavior modification, but unless you test it, it never transforms.
Yeah.
If you are not transformed, it's hard to transform. So if you are transformed, it's natural to just transform through everything that you do.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. And how can our audience further connect with you? You've got so much, you've got so much wisdom and so much that I want to continue to learn from. So how can our audience follow you, connect with you? I know your book is out and you have more coming. So how can we learn more?
Well, you know, wisdom, it's granted to, same like God gave to Solomon, it's to all of us, but it is same like the kingdom. Jesus told his disciples that in seek first the kingdom. And his disciples asked him, why are you always talking in parables? He said, there's a secret in it. If you pursue, if you endure, if you ask, if you knock, you're fine. It doesn't matter what faith background or how much spiritual you think. Anyone and everyone can access. So this is why I wrote the book about my father's business. It's Luke 2:49. All of us are about our father's business. If we acknowledge the father, Abba, the source, and you can expand his kingdom. So when I wrote the book, I thought, okay, it was just something God placed in my heart. I did study the scriptures. Then he asked me to write devotional, because unless you study and meditate, it doesn't go deep. Then he asked me to do the workbook, because unless you journal it, like God did, he spoke, then he wrote it down in the book of life about us and our business. So those are some of the structure I made, and I'm also in the process of creating a curriculum and a coaching program. It's all you can find about my father's business.life. That's my book and the website. And there's a lot of articles I write and podcasts and all those things. I leave it there. And wisdom is available for everyone. You don't need to be smart to function in wisdom. There's two different things, wisdom and smartness. Smartness is man-made or man-achieved. Wisdom can be given to God for even the simplest of it. And that simple practice of wisdom can create profound, impactful difference. So for me, that website is where I also have my financial strategy wealth advisory form called Optimal Wealth. OptimalWealthStrategyGroup.com is my financial wealth advisory. That's where, that's an educational site. I just provide information about things that I live and practice. I don't sell or tell others what I don't preach, what I don't practice. So I live all these things, and I see increase and rest and peace. So those are the two sites, about my father's business.life and OptimalWealthStrategyGroup.com, that has the information that can help.
Perfect. And I will link to both of those in the show notes. These are principles that we all need to be applying to our lives. I don't care where you're at in your financial journey. There's so much more wisdom to gain. Even just the power of, like I shared with you before we got on the show, that we had gone to a wealth conference, and just the principle of leverage that a lot of people are afraid of. I think it's been somewhat twisted and manipulated, and somewhat it feels like the system doesn't want us to have the knowledge. But just when used properly is just such an amazing principle. So I'd love for people to learn more about that. So I will be linking all your contact, that information in the show notes. I really, really, really appreciate your time today. I wish we could go on for hours and hours and hours, but I will be connecting with you for my own personal business and life, because there's just so much more that I want to learn. So thank you again so much for your time today and all the wisdom that you've given us and for truly stepping into your gift that God has given you and sharing it with the world. And that's how we change the world, one conversation at a time.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity to share this because that's how the kingdom grows. So, you know, for me, my last encouragement is, you know, start where you want. Doesn't, you know, need to have a big thing. One step at a time, that's how faith increases also. That's how your world will get better. And increase the value in you first so that you can increase the value for others.
Yes. That's a great way to sign off. So we're going to end it with that note. Increase the value in you so you can share it with others. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, I am fired up after that conversation with Sam. There is just so much wisdom that he gave us and so much more to dive into. I know I personally will be taking advantage of his programs, his book, his workbook, his devotionals. Those are things that I after we got off camera, I told him, I've got a couple people that I'm going to be gifting this to. So I hope you take the time. I'm going to put links in the show notes for how to get to his both of his websites on his About My Father's Business website is where you can get the book and get it on Amazon. It's so good. So I want to thank Sam again for being on our show today. Guys, that's going to be a wrap for this episode of the Whole Business Podcast. I hope you gained some valuable insights, some nuggets, some takeaways to help you grow your business, to create the freedom that you deserve and to make a bigger impact on this world. If you found this episode helpful, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss our next upcoming conversations. We have quite a bit more in the works so that you can take your business and your life to the next level. And if you know another entrepreneur or business owner who would benefit from these strategies, please share this episode with them. They don't even have to be. I mean, today's episode is applicable to all people, not just entrepreneurs and business leaders. So share this. And for more resources on coaching strategies to build a thriving business while achieving whole life success, please feel free to check out our website, www.gorgeousbusinesssolutions.com. Some great things in the works there that we're excited about, some new coaching options and strategies. And so we're looking forward to helping and serve more and more people. So thanks for tuning in. Now go apply what you learn and keep building that whole business life. Until next time.